Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical, underage sale prohibited. Introducing Zone Nicotine Pouches, the perfect balance of unparalleled comfort, longer-lasting flavor, and nicotine that satisfies. Whether you're zoning in during the race or zoning out after a tough day at work, Zone gets you there faster and keeps you there longer. Available in 7 flavors and in 6 and 9 milligram strengths. Find Zone at ZonePouches.com and retailers near you. Own your Zone with Zone Nicotine Pouches.
Ladies and gentlemen, we want you to stand and we want you to make some noise.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's go racing here at Knoxville.
Only the best go three of
it is showtime at Williams Grove Speedway.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, here at Eldora Speedway, it's showtime.
To sit back, relax, and enjoy, because ladies and gentlemen, it's showtime!
Set to do battle for 30 laps, the green flag is waving.
Hello again, it is Wing Nation presented by Sage Fruit, talking sprint car racing, our favorite time of the week, and we are so glad that you have joined us. Steve Post joined by Aaron Evernham here in our Concord, North Carolina studios. How are you?
I'm good, how are you?
Fantastic, fantastic. Got a little fumes in my gills and some dirt
fumes
in my beer, right. And I was good, and everything is good. But, I went down to Travelers Rest Speedway on Thursday night. USCS was in town Thursday night there, Friday night Carolina Speedway. Saturday they were supposed to go at Cherokee. They got there and got rained out. They were doing actually with Carolina Sprint Tour, so 305s and 360s same program, but they got rained out. They've got a rescheduled date for September. And I was just talking with you before the thing. It's been a weird year for me getting to sprint car races. We had some planned and things didn't work out here. I had planned the rest of my life around that.
Yeah.
I have two daughters that within the next month, I'll be an empty nester. And so we're doing a lot of things together.
Yeah.
It's all good. So we had some stuff planned, and so I scheduled every other waking hour to be with my daughters, and then when the plans went upside down here with MRN, with Wing Nation, then I end up without sprint car races. So it's been one of those years where I haven't been to many sprint car races, but boy, Thursday night just getting down there in the pits just makes me, it's like I've got to figure a way to get to more sprint car races. Got my fix a little bit. Talk to the usual cast of characters, Brian Kemena. He is Christopher Bell's father-in-law.
Yeah.
Brian, of course, longtime crew chief, and he actually talked about the Knoxville Nationals that you qualified and seeing the sunrise the next morning, because that was the year that Schaefer won it also.
Yep.
With Brian calling the shots there. Just love the people of sprint car racing in USCS, and just had a great visit with Terry Gray. My gosh, Terry Gray is just, God, he's just a cool dude.
Just
fun being in the pits. And that's the thing. I literally just said to Aaron beforehand, I swear that I could go to a sprint car race, get there 2 hours before engine heat or hot laps, 2 hours before hot laps, and I could leave at hot laps and be fine.
Yeah.
Would prefer to stay and see the races. But it's just the people.
The catching up when they've got the time.
Catching up when they've got the time. And I'm one of those where I'm pretty, and this is really no matter where I'm at. If I'm at a late model stock race, if I'm at a NASCAR race, if I'm not working a practice and qualifying show, I'm not in the garage area.
Yeah.
I don't need one more fat guy in the middle of there getting in the way. And I'm the same way when they start putting engine heat in or getting ready for hot laps, make my way. The other thing is everyone's like, you got to give me a pit pass. The very best place to watch racing from is the grandstands.
Yeah.
And so I like to just go in the stands then and grab myself a bag of popcorn.
I was going
to
say, your popcorn.
Popcorn, got to have my popcorn and soda pop and go on. So it was cool. And that night, Gavin Boschel, who is Christopher and Brian's driver, picked up the win.
Yeah.
So, and Gavin's one of our Millbridge kids and doing well. I think that was win 7 or 8 for the Kemena Bell team between micros and sprint cars. Their goal was 10. And it was still July when they got number 7.
Wow.
So I think they're doing all right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gavin did a really nice job. I've watched Gavin race a lot out at Millbridge, and he's an up on the fence hot dogger. He's one of those kids that's not afraid to go. This was a single file.
Yeah.
Around the bottom of the racetrack, Traveler's Rest. Eric Riggins said the annual parade at Traveler's Rest, and that's fine. It is what it is. Okay, we all understand that. Gavin in lap traffic did a wonderful job dealing with lap traffic and getting back down in line and getting his momentum back up before he attacked the next car.
Yep.
And I've seen a lot out of Gavin that I really impressed with, but I probably was most impressed with the last 8 or 10 laps watching him navigate traffic, because that is a tough task to do. And you get out of the groove and you're just hanging on. And so how he would barrel it in around and try to cut down in front of the lap cars, and then he would work to get his momentum back up and get to the next one. I was just extremely impressed with his driving ability. As a 16 years old, he's 16 years old.
Sheesh.
Yeah, really good stuff. So great to be at the racetrack for sure. And all kinds of great stuff. Let's get into our Hefner Racing product hot topics, Aaron. All-Star Circuit of Champions, their annual visit. You know, when they roll into Knoxville, business is picking up.
Yep.
51 cars, and it was a who's who.
Mm-hmm.
But when it was done, it was a very familiar face in Victory Lane this year.
Gosh,
Rico,
I love it.
Is just rolling.
He is.
He is just, and that car, you know, not only Ricky has that car doing things, but we had Rico on last week, the confidence,
yep,
the just everything. Rico is in that handful of drivers that could win the, that would be favorites.
For sure.
For sure to win the Knoxville Nationals.
I mean, Williams Grove, the high limits race at Grandview. I mean, he's just picking them off right now.
He is picking them up and laying them down.
Yeah.
So good stuff from Rico. I love this top five. Rico, Buddy Kofoid, but then I like these next three.
Mm-hmm.
Justin Henderson, Austin McCarl, and Brian Brown. I just think that we need to keep an eye on a Knoxville local or two this year.
Yeah.
I just really feel like Brownie, we had him on our TV show last week. We have Austin McCarl on this week, and they're both in really, really mm-hmm. good spots.
I think it's Brownie's year. I'm going with Brownie.
You like Brownie? I would not be surprised at all on that. I mean, and man, they'd loot that Casey's General Store across the street, wouldn't they? Oh, my God. They'd tear that place up. I love where we're at with Knoxville this year. Granted, there's the guys like Rico that have really stood out, but that doesn't mean, and then there's Donnie who just rolled into Eldor and won the King's Royal.
Never rule him out.
But I think that Austin, Justin's run there, Justin Henderson's run, Brownie, and then of course you get to the World of Outlaws and you got Gravel, Macedo, and Sweet.
Yeah.
This is unreal what we're watching. It really is. It was Weed Sport this weekend.
Yeah.
Gravel's won three of the last four races there. Gravel, Macedo, and how about...
I love it.
The Buckeye Bullet from 16th to 3rd. Just digging on that dry,
so
slick racetrack.
Fun to watch. When I didn't get to watch the race, and I saw the race, someone posted about Dave running third, and it just put a smile on my face. Like, who could not be happy for the Buckeye Bullet?
Yeah, and here's something I really took, and I started the show, we talked about good sprint car people. Gravel did an Instagram post, and David Gravel's social media is head and shoulders.
Yep.
And he talked in that post, he was riding or going somewhere, doing something that was post-race, and he talked about how cool it was to share a podium with Dave Blaney.
Yeah.
And just that respect.
Mm-hmm.
Dave Blaney is all respect. And to see him go 16th to 3rd, I'm telling you, you get a dry slick racetrack, mm-hmm. and it doesn't matter what series sanctioning about who you're with, you put the Buckeye Bullet out there, and he's going to be fun to watch. And he was rolling. So I love that. Really, really good stuff. Gravel's 10th win of the season, and he joins Freddie Raymer, who also won Saturday night at Lincoln. Freddie has 11, AJ Flick and David Gravel now have 10 wins this season. So there's three of them in the in the double
in
digits.
In July.
I deleted that note from our notes. But the other guy that is closing in is Dobmeier. He won 2 this week at NOSA. He's up to 9. So Mark Dobmeier is
rolling. Who missed the beginning of the season.
Yeah, exactly. And was like, are you going to race or not? You know, I mean,
hold my beer.
There's a whole bunch of people up in the Dakotas that wished he was not racing. Mark Dobmeier is up to 9 wins. IRA bumper to bumper sprints. Greg Wilson, and we're going to talk to Greg coming up in a little bit. First win of 2023. This is vintage typical Greg Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
Him, McKenzie, and the two girls. That's all he had.
Yep.
Go out there and won the race. He won the race by 0.026 seconds over Brenham Crouch. Brenham, as the point leader, had never won before in the IRA Tour, but he came back Saturday night at Wilmot and scored the win. So he had a second and a first. So kudos to Brenham Crouch as well. So fun stuff. Really, really good stuff. Great, great stuff across the sprint car world. And there you have it. Our Hefner Racing product, Hot Topics. HRP loves karting from sprint carts to road racing to wing outlaw carts. HRP Streeter Superstands are the number one selling brand for karting.
Yep, they've got automatic electric lifts, rolling stands, and stackers to carry multiple carts. And just like sprint cars, HRP has racks, engine tire racks, engine racks, speed breakers, and a whole lot line of karting accessories.
www.hrpracing.com. That's hrpracing.com. Love those folks up there at HRP, and love seeing all their stuff out at Millbridge with the carts. I see all of their Streeter stands and everything else. Good stuff. All right, we need to step away. The other one we're going to talk to is Chase Randall, the Bush's chicken car.
Yep. Oh, like his chicken.
Well, he's got chicken and he's got a distillery on the 360 car.
I mean, that's your ideal.
Put that together and it's bada bing. So we're gonna beg for product. Now we're going to talk to Chase Randall first up, and then Greg Wilson. So stay with us. Chase Randall joins us next. The Outlaws are headed back to the Pacific Northwest. Join us for three action-packed nights of racing August 31st, September 1st, and 2nd at Skagit Speedway when the world of outlaw NOS energy drink sprint cars return for the Sage Fruit Skagit Nationals. Kickoff for the Sage Fruit Skagit Nationals begins Wednesday, August 30th with a pre-race party, live band, Sage Fruit apple giveaways, and more. Then catch Johnny Schatz and the rest of the world of outlaws as they take on Washington's best sprint car drivers Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights. Details at SkagitSpeedway.com.
The National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum's newest exhibit will be our track tribute to Williams Grove Speedway inside the museum's main floor from April 3rd through October 2nd this year. You'll learn about the beginning of Williams Grove Speedway and the evolution of sprint car racing on the East Coast through eight of the iconic big cars and sprint cars that made up the history of Mechanic Birds, Pennsylvania's Williams Grove Speedway. Plus, you'll see videos of historic National Open sprint car races and other racing events that put Williams Grove on the map. That's the track tribute to Williams Grove Speedway, featured April 3rd through October 2nd at the only museum in the world solely dedicated to sprint car racing, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa.
Welcome back. It is Wing Nation presented by Sage Fruit. Let's go to the Sage Fruit Hotline. Joining us fresh off from a win at Huset's, he's got to be licking his chops about going into Knoxville this weekend for the 360 Nationals. Mm-hmm. Huset's win was his third win up there. Chase Randall joins us. Hello, Chase. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
We are doing well. Welcome to Wing Nation. First time caller into Wing Nation. Welcome aboard. Really, really cool. Let's talk a little bit about Huset's, your success up there. You've got three wins in the 410 car, and it looks like you've got that place figured out somewhat good. Tell us about that win on Sunday night.
Yeah, it's been a good year so far up there. We got it figured out. It's been a lot of fun traveling up there. Every weekend almost it feels like after running Knoxville and kind of being based around Knoxville and getting extra laps up there. We weren't deciding to go up there every week. I feel like we were running for points this year to start off. We kind of just made the quick decision. One weekend before they started to kind of go up there on the opening night, kind of get some laps there and kind of see how the track was and just test the waters and ended up getting the win that night. It was kind of one of those things where we kind of see how far we can take it, just kept going back and, picked up another win a few weeks ago. And then just been making a lot of good moves and has a lot of speed there and got another one this past Sunday, which is really cool. And I'm racing with Brooke Tatnall and, a lot of the guys that run up there, a lot is really special. And especially all the history they have there at Huset's This is another cool track to race at such a young age.
Chase, I've followed your career for a long time because we have a mutual friend in the Wilcox family. What has this season been like for you? I followed your career through micros up into running some 360 stuff, and this has kind of been a breakout season. You're talking about beating guys like Brooke Tatnall and running leading laps with the high limits, winning races at Knoxville. What has this been like for you? I mean, I know you're still so young, but it seems like you've really put your name out there on the map for everyone to see this year.
Yeah, it is, like you said, been a breakout year, you could say. And It's been, been really, eye-opening for myself too, being, as this is my, my rookie season in 410, and I didn't get very many, didn't get started this year until, in January when I went down to Australia to run 410 for the first time. So it's been, been really cool, and a lot of hard work we've put in to, to get where we are, trying to race, everywhere we can to get as many laps to get speed as quick as possible. And, it's kind of helped out a lot. I'm traveling around the country and running the High Limit Series and going up to Houston every Sunday and running double duty in Knoxville, every Saturday with the 360 and the 2KS and the 410 class. Just traveling all over and getting seat time anywhere. It's been helping that out a lot. And I'm just going, as many races as we can to, get as much experience, at such a young age.
Yeah, and you talk about that. You talk about the TKS with Troy Renfro. You talk about your deal. You talk about, the Wilcox family. How important is it for you to get some key people like that around you to help you kind of develop as a sprint car racer?
It's been really important. You couldn't do it without some of the supporters you have and, other people, pushing you to get better and, the support they give and experience and just the knowledge from them. And, with the Wilcoxes, I was really, really thankful to get to know them at such a young age. I got my first quarter midget from Eric Wilcox and have known them for, such a long time, racing with them for a while and have now being good friends with them. So it's been really cool. I'm pretty sure they're coming to the 410 Nationals to hang out, and they've gone to a couple of races this year that they've, been able to see. And it's been really cool to get to know them and hang out with them a lot and for all the help they give us.
Chase, it's neat to see you have success at all these different racetracks. You've run well, like you said, the High Limits race. You're winning races at Knoxville. You're winning races at Houston, which are so different. Is there a preference? Like, do you like the shorter, more Houston style, or do you like the Knoxville a little bit bigger, more momentum?
I've kind of grown to like Knoxville a lot. Most of my career, I ran a lot shorter tracks, I feel like, in a sprint car, in the micros at least. With ASCS starting, I ran my first season of sprint car with ASCS back in 2020 and did a lot of traveling with them at a lot shorter tracks. So that's kind of what I've been running on a lot more in my career. But running at Knoxville so much has been a lot of fun, and it's kind of making me learn a different style of racing and with the big track. And it's kind of helped me at smaller tracks, I feel like, just kind of planning out my moves ahead, because at Knoxville, it's kind of you're doing a lot of thinking while you're driving out there, and because it's so big and you're planning all your moves ahead. So it's kind of made me look at it a different way and helped a lot traveling to other tracks, I feel like, around the country, getting extra laps there, and just helped learning when I go to a new track or something like that. It kind of makes me adapt a little bit easier.
Yeah, it seems like it, that's for sure. And I want to go a little deeper into that, because Erin probably understands everything. She's a race car driver. You're a race car driver. I'm a dumb radio guy, okay? you talk about planning your moves. Is that a lot of the aero stuff that you see at Knoxville that you can then take to the shorter tracks and momentum and things like that? Is that kind of what you're talking about, that helps you across the board?
Yes, exactly. I feel like, at Knoxville, the aero is, is really huge and a big thing. And it's not really, you don't think about it too much at short tracks, because obviously it's just not in your head and you're going a little bit slower, but it is a big thing. And that's kind of something that's helped me, is kind of picking the lanes and trying to go where the people are, not following anybody. And it kind of looks at a different perspective and it kind of helps you out, if you know what I mean.
Chase, I know we talked a little bit earlier about the support system you have. We mentioned Eric Wilcox and the family and Troy Renfro and the 2KS. I want to mention your dad. I know he's been a big supporter of yours. He's been through your career from quarter midgets to micros. What has it been like for him, or what is it like for your relationship with your dad to progress to where you're at now, winning races at such historic racetrack?
Yeah, it's definitely been such a cool time with him. And I couldn't be here without him and my mom and everything they do. My dad's been, the biggest, him and my mom have been the biggest supporters of my racing, and I couldn't have done anything without him. We've done so much traveling over the years with quarter midgets, going all over across the country, and then the micros, just racing anywhere and everywhere we can, to be the best. And we go wherever the biggest races are and race with the best people. And it's been, you know, such an awesome time with him in our relationship. You know, it's been, you know, every week with each other all the time, no matter what, in a shop, working late nights and early mornings and up and down the road 24/7. So that's been, you know, it's been really cool and something, you know, that I'm cherishing a lot.
That is really, really neat. That is for sure. 360 wins at Knoxville, points leader coming into the 360 Nationals. How do you feel about this weekend? How do you approach this weekend? How do you juggle the excitement of the 360 Nationals and then next week the 410 Nationals with the business at hand? How do you go into a good big weekend like this at a track where you've had a fair amount of success at?
Yeah, it's definitely tricky with kind of the emotions you feel and the big race that's coming up. It helps out a lot this year that we've been getting so many laps in Knoxville and have learned so much. So we kind of have a really good game plan going in, and just the emotions of the big race and kind of, you know, all the speed we have, you know, we're obviously, you know, going for the win and everything like that. But it's kind of try not to look at it too much as a different race. It's just another race for us, and, you know, trying to, you know, put the best foot forward we can. And, you know, if kind of we do everything right and kind of do our jobs the best we can, and, you know, something, you know, a few things happen our way, there's no reason we can't be there at the end and have a shot for the win with the 360s. And, you know, the just a busy 2 weeks coming up with the Capitani Classic, the Pro Challenge, and then the 410 Nationals all next week after that is another big thing. And for my first 410 Nationals coming up, I have high hopes for that. And I know with all the knowledge that Troy has in the 2KS car, we can have a good shot at that too.
Man, that is awesome. That is awesome. Final and most important question. Okay. You have a chicken sponsor and a distillery sponsor. Okay. Do you have any samples of either that you can send?
I know for sure that my dad has quite a few samples in Knoxville. If you're going to be there, yeah. You can come by and try to get some. And I know I actually know that on Thursday night at the 410 Nationals, they have a big chicken feed after the races. Now that's something that's going on for, you know, a long time now. Mm-hmm. And my dad has been asked to, you know, sponsor some of the chicken. So I know that he's doing that, and, you know, people can come try that at the 410 Nationals if they want.
There we go. Man, oh man, we are good to go. We are hooked up with chicken, with spirits, and a three-time winner at Houston's, three-time 360 winner, and a guy we're going to be watching over the next 2 weeks. Chase, we do appreciate the time. We appreciate the conversation. Thanks for joining us here on Wing Nation.
Thanks for having me.
There we go. Chase Randall joining us. Wow. What a good young guy.
Yeah, pretty impressive.
Yeah, 18 years old. Met him out at 34 Raceway. Had a chance to chat with him, and just his humility, his desire to learn, his devotion, his commitment to family and all of that stuff. It's really, really cool. And then you throw in chicken in the distillery, and I mean, it's like the whole package right there. How'd I do? Did I do all right, Megan?
Well, yeah.
I did all right. Problem is, we're not going to Knoxville.
I know.
That's the only problem. Oh, well.
We need a care
package.
We'll have to work on that.
That's all right. Or maybe I could just fly out Thursday night for the
just
chicken
for the
feed.
Just for the chicken feed.
Just for the chicken feed. Grab some spirits and then
the
head
Iowa
on.
Beer bus and
yeah,
all
well, the
other...
Iowa beer bus. That's right. Oh my gosh.
Cattlemen's.
Yeah.
And...
yeah. You and I have sat in that Des Moines airport on Friday morning.
We have.
Of Knoxville
that
Nationals
so
week.
Sad.
And we ain't never doing that again. Yeah. No, we're not. We're
it's either, almost better, honestly, to not go at all.
We're in or we're out. And unfortunately, this year it appears that we are the latter. So great to talk with Chase Randall. I really love where he's going.
Yeah,
I think
too.
That I just think that the future is bright. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Really, really good. And speaking of the future, how about a 46-year-old? Greg Wilson. Maybe the future is bright. Well, I'm sure the future is bright
yeah,
for Greg. Absolutely.
Bright.
Yeah, he's got that new crew all together.
Mm-hmm,
Mackenzie and his
team.
Daughters. The girls' team, he's all good to go. We'll talk to Greg Wilson next. The Outlaws are headed back to the Pacific Northwest. Join us for three action-packed nights of racing August 31st, September 1st, and 2nd at Skagit Speedway when the world of outlaw NOS Energy Drink Sprint Cars return for the Sage Fruit Skagit Nationals. Kickoff for the Sage Fruit Skagit Nationals begins Wednesday, August 30th with a pre-race party, live band, Sage Fruit Apple giveaways, and more. Then catch Johnny Schatz and the rest of the world of Outlaws as they take on Washington's best sprint car drivers Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights. Details at SkagitSpeedway.com.
The National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum's newest exhibit will be our track tribute to Williams Grove Speedway inside the museum's main floor from April 3rd through October 2nd this year. You'll learn about the beginning of Williams Grove Speedway and the evolution of sprint car racing on the East Coast through eight of the iconic big cars and sprint cars that made up the history of Mechanic Bird's Pennsylvania's Williams Grove Speedway. Plus, you'll see videos of historic national open sprint car races and other racing events that put Williams Grove on the map. That's the track tribute to Williams Grove Speedway, featured April 3rd through October 2nd at the only museum in the world solely dedicated to sprint car racing, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa.
So Friday night to me for Greg Wilson is just exactly how you script it. Okay? You put your wife and kids in a hall in Ohio. You drive to Plymouth, Wisconsin, one of your favorite racetracks, the Plymouth Dirt Track, Sheboygan, County Fairgrounds.
Your favorite names, too.
And you're coming out from turn number four on the final lap, and you win it by 0.026 seconds. And joining us on the Sage Shrewd Hotline is that driver of that Hercules Tires car. Greg Wilson joins us. Hello, Greg. How are you?
Pretty good. Just really busy. Actually, running a forklift, trying to get some race cars parts loaded up to go across the pond. So. Just busy, really.
Well, cool. Well, I want to talk about the pond in a little bit and where you're loading race cars up. But how about that with McKenzie and the girls as your crew standing in victory lane up at Plymouth? I cannot imagine how good that must have felt, especially knowing it's been a little bit of a struggle this year. That had to be a very rewarding moment, Greg.
It was huge. Roughly a week before, we're in a bad traffic accident with the rig. We probably should have just went home. And, you know, the whole trip, even getting all the way back to home was, there were so many things that happened. I would probably, it would make a reality show. and probably half the stuff that I would tell you, people would think that I was exaggerating or they wouldn't believe me anyway, but it was a very emotional, frustrating, exciting, about as much roller coaster of a trip that you could have. But the icing on the cake obviously was winning and having my wife and girls as the crew. I don't even know how to explain that I felt other than, you guys all know I'm a pretty emotional guy, and it's one of them things that like I'm never going to forget. And it was much needed. I've done it so long. I mean, the fact that Hercules Tire, Ohio Logistics, and DNC Hydraulics are main players that have been involved a long time. I mean, to go back to our own team this year and to get them a win and an exciting win and to start to be more competitive and kind of to show that me and my family and our team as a whole just don't give up. I just a lot of emotion.
Greg, you talked about an exciting win. You won by 0.26 seconds. Talk about the race. You said a late race caution helped you out, but did you even know that you won? Because you win by that little bit of a margin. Did you know right away?
Well, no. I tell you what, there's multiple things that kind of happened. I mean, the weather was crazy, and they were trying to hurry up and get through. And so we kind of, as the backside of the story goes, we're thrashing around after the heat. Or the dash, I can't even remember which, to be honest. But we were just mediocre. We were okay, but we weren't great. And, we made some – I looked at Lily, and obviously she really – I mean, she doesn't know, but she. I'm like, hey, listen, just say left or right. I don't care. It'll just sway me one way or the other. And we made some big changes. Beginning of the race, we were kind of we were okay, kind of fell back. I think we started sixth and maybe with seventh or eighth and kind of got some cars back right away. And about halfway through the race, it started kind of coming to us a little bit, and the track cleaned up, and I could follow them around the top, but then I could start kind of cheating and running across it, and we started making up time. And I thought, well, you know, I knew they had to be getting close to the end of the race, and we were running fourth, and I thought, well, we're underneath third place guy, and I'm like, we're gonna run third here pretty easy. We're never gonna catch the leaders. Caution comes out, two to go. And when the caution comes out, they were all kind of banging up top, and I was doing that at one end and kind of cheating the other. I'm like, man, they're going to – if they get to racing each other, I might have a shot to run second here with two to go. Like, I had no – you know, you always kind of plan it in your head, and So I bumped the wing back a little bit more, and I'm like, well, I know we're usually pretty good on restarts, especially with the things that we changed on the car. And I thought, well, I mean, good Lord willing, we're gonna at least get to second, and we'll see what we got. And we went down into one and two, and they all went to the top. And on the restart, like on the white flat or the whatever green white checkered, we kind of got underneath them all. And I thought, well, he's gonna block me. The leader's gonna block me when we get back around coming for the checkered. And we went down into one and two, and he gave me enough room, and I ran across there and got up in the lead. And then he kind of crossed me over in three and four. It was Brendan Crouch, and them young guys, they did a great job racing, and it was a lot of fun. And you know, it was a very close race. I had no idea we won. A red flag come out as we took the checkered, and we're all sitting on the backstretch, and they're literally on the radio saying, hey, it's going to take a minute with scoring here to get it figured out who won, but the race is over. And you know, obviously pretty exciting with everything that's kind of went on over the last, you know, really month. You know, it just, like I said, a very, very emotional win, a very exciting win. And, you know, just to be able to do it, to be able to drive race cars and, you know, have all the fan support and all the people that have helped and called and made sure that we're okay through everything. And like, the teams that have been helping us push the car back, you know, it just, you know, just kind of in the world in general, like it's hard to find help. And, you know, it's not like that we don't want help, but it's just finding the right person, the right fit. But to do it with your family is unreal.
So this year you find yourself with Greg Wilson Racing back with the W20 car, putting the family back together, putting the cars back together, putting the teams back together and everything. How big of a challenge has that been for you guys to piece all of the elements and all of the parts and pieces back together for you guys?
Well, you know, I was so fortunate to be able to drive and, you know, for Joe Sealing, Joe and Diane Sealing, and be teamed with Andy Potter and Joe Lewandowski. And, you know, I knew we had a really good team, but just sometimes in racing, you know, I you see all these things going on and, you know, it's a mutual split, or like there was people read into it that there was a problem. The only real problem was just there were so many pieces to the puzzle, you know, keeping our partners happy and meshing it with another car owner, it's not easy.
Yeah.
And really nobody at fault, but it just couldn't continue on the way that it was. And but that also gave me some time to kind of take a breath, to watch Andy do his thing, and, you know, to try to, and when I was driving the 97 car, I realized that you still got to have fun. I mean, you know, in life, you still got to have fun or you don't have success anyway. And so we went back to work and kind of, we had a lot of stuff sitting there, and we kind of regrouped, and I still feel like we are in the process of still regrouping. Like, we're making changes, Kistler's making changes with our motors, and like, we're just gradually kind of working towards hopefully being a little more competitive every night. And I feel like it's starting to show, but, you know, racing's so competitive, you just got to be careful because it's a roller coaster, and, you know, you don't get too high or too low. And, you know, that's tough to do.
Yeah, sure.
But it's been a lot of work, and, you know, I'm having a lot of fun with my girls. They're getting old enough that I think they're realizing that the racing thing, even though they got other things in life, I mean, Lily's trying out for volleyball and Livy's got basketball right now. We're meshing all that with racing, and it's just a fun time, honestly. It's a lot of work, just like anybody in, you know, life, but it's pretty enjoyable right now.
So I have a parenting question. How do you get your girls to work on your car, be your crew, and they look like they're really enjoying it? I mean, I can't get my daughter to clean her room.
Well, hey, listen, you know, I don't always, me and Kinsey always joke, we don't win Parent of the Year awards all the time, right? You know, so like anybody, their dad's probably, I don't know how else to put it, but their dad's probably a little bit of a hard ass sometimes, and they know not to cross my path. And it's a respect thing. Like, that's how I was raised.
Yeah.
Same.
You know, with my mom and dad, that you got your butt cracked if you needed it. And right or wrong, that's how we were raised. And like my girls, when they were younger, you know, now I raise my voice or they see the look in my eye, and we don't ever get to that point most of the times. And, yep. You know, I'm trying to teach them that whether you want to be around racing or not, if you learn some work ethic,
mm-hmm.
and you know, racing is a ton of work. Anybody listening that's been around a race car, I don't care at what level, whether it's a go-kart or NASCAR or what about all sprint car, whatever, it's a lot of work. And, you know, they've been around it their whole life. I think, and I hope they see their dad and their mom bust their butt to provide for them, doing something that maybe isn't the smartest thing in the world to do. But, you know, hopefully that spills over, and whatever they want to do in life, they continue on with that work ethic.
Yeah.
And, you know, I feel bad for them at times. I'm not going to lie. Like, as a parent, I sit back, I'm like, man, my kids really shouldn't have to, you know, do some of the things or see me struggle or whatever. But at the same time, I hope that at the end of the day, when they look back on life, like I hear Kenna Jacobs make mention at times, and she's made comments to me that, you know, those are some of the best times of her life when she was up and down the road with her dad, you know, and I hope that's the same, you know, and I hope that the things that they learn, they carry over. You know, I'm sure they don't always want to be there. And, but, you know, two different kids. It's crazy. Like, you watch them be born and you in everything else, and they're just totally two different kids, and like how they handle things. Like, Lily is really methodical and super competitive, and Livy loves people and is really good with doing things with the race car and seems to maybe enjoy that side of it a little more. It's a lot of fun. I mean, I'm so lucky to be a parent.
You certainly are, and parent of the year. I mean, this is the guy.
I wouldn't go that far, Steve.
Well, no. Here's my. Let me finish my point here. This is the guy and his wife that, when he was full time on the World of Outlaw Tour, had Jason and Paul Sides sit the kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're fine.
I mean, they got their education young.
We actually just talked about the Golden Corral experience with Paul and Jay. You know, here recently, we were actually going somewhere and there was still a Golden Corral, and Livy's like, you remember when Paul, and she's like, I remember that the ice cream fountain and the chocolate, and they just let us eat whatever we wanted. And I'm like, yeah, I remember.
Yeah. Cause we were up all night with the sugar rush.
Yeah.
It is awesome.
Know, that's what,
yeah.
That, you know, even today with everything that's been going on and the struggles and the crazy things that have happened, you know, I'm not one. I wear everything on my shirt sleeve, I feel like. And,
yeah.
You know, when I say thank you to the fans and the people, I genuinely mean it. I mean, like, we've had so many people that see it going on. I mean, there was a gentleman up in, at Plymouth on Friday, and I could see his face. I don't even know if I could remember his name, but he's literally watching it all go on, and he's like, this is really cool watching you and your family do this. You're like, you're pretty well-oiled machine for being, you know, just two young girls doing this. I'm like, well, I mean, I'm proud of that, right? But he's like, you guys are working too hard. Can we go get you something to eat or something? Like, well, wow. You guys are – those are the kind of people that make racing. And, you know, sometimes I don't even know if they realize it, but it means a ton to me and my family. And other teams, I mean, the Rudine Racing team and Derek Miller and Todd, like, they've all, when we've been part by them, I'm just giving you an example, like, but they've helped. There was teams helping us push the car back and forth. Tyler Rankin's crew was helping us push the car back and forth this weekend. I mean, it's just pretty cool how the sport is.
Really, truly is. How, you said you were loading some cars up to send them across the pond. What are you working on with the forklift now?
Well, you know, obviously we try to, you know, I guess I try to network and take care of our partners. So we got it kind of set up for some folks in New Zealand to warehouse some stuff here at Ohio Logistics. And we use their facilities, and we load about four containers a year. I was always kind of in the background and just kind of helping people connect to things. And a good friend of mine, Ed Nokas, got really sick. He's not in very good shape, and he was the one that kind of took care of everything. And I guess right now at the moment, we're kind of hoping he gets better, but kind of me and the family had to kind of take it over and help them guys out. And so we're doing a container full of race car parts and different materials for their business, and loading a container up and helping them get loaded and get it across, so get headed that way. And you know, it's a way to help our team out financially a little bit, do a little extra work. And you know, but it helps a lot of our partners out, a lot of our suppliers, you know, like Winners Performance, KSC Steerings, Ultra Shield, all people that are actually involved with our team, that, you know, we kind of help get them looped together, and they buy some parts and you know, building material for their companies, and we'd help load it up.
Nice. Good stuff. Final question for you. We have a mutual friend, Camilla Jesko. Of course, you're sponsored by Hercules. For years, we were. We've gone in our separate ways as far as that goes, but we enjoyed such a wonderful relationship. That wonderful relationship was because of Camilla. How's Camilla doing? She's still part of your race team and everything. Is everything good with our friend Camilla?
Listen, huge part of my race team. You know, she has been lucky enough to go to work for Ford Performance.
Yep.
And she's been learning the ropes at Ford and doing, you know, for a while there, she was missing the hands-on involvement because, you know, I mean, I guess I don't know, but like as you make a change like that, getting your feet wet and learning how a new business works, you know, she had some struggles, but she's doing great. Just talked to her yesterday. She helps so with a lot of the PR stuff with our team and helps keep the ball rolling on our end stuff that, as you guys well know, I'm not a big social media guy to speak of. And so she helps with all that stuff. And if it wasn't for her, I don't even know where our team would be. She's like part of our family and so grateful that she's doing well and still helping our team.
That is awesome. She is a wonderful, wonderful person and a great asset to whoever she's working for. And in this case, it's Greg Wilson Racing. Greg, congratulations on the win. Hopefully we'll talk to you later on this season after a few more here. But thanks for joining us here on Wing Nation.
Yeah, as always, thank you so much for having us. And like I said, again, just thanks to everybody that's reached out over the past couple weeks with everything going on. And I mean, it like I said, I genuinely mean it. I don't like to, you know, blow smoke or whatever, and it's not just to say it to say it. I mean, it's a lot of people have reached out and offered help and all of it, and just so thankful to be a part of the sport and to be a part of Hercules Tire, Ohio Logistics, and DNC Hydraulics. I mean, they make our deal go around, and just appreciate you having us and continue the good work, guys.
Sounds like fun. We'll do that. You can do that, and we'll be in good shape. Thanks, Greg.
All right, thank you.
Greg Wilson joining us on the Sage Fruit Hotline. Stay with us. More Wing Nation in just a moment. The Outlaws are headed back to the Pacific Northwest. Join us for three action-packed nights of racing August 31st, September 1st, and 2nd at Skagit Speedway when the world of outlaw NOS Energy Drink Sprint Cars return for the Sage Fruit Skagit Nationals. Kickoff for the Sage Fruit Skagit Nationals begins Wednesday, August 30th with a pre-race party, live band, Sage Fruit Apple giveaways, and more. Then catch Donnie Schatz and the rest of the world of outlaws as they take on Washington's best sprint car drivers Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights. Details at SkagitSpeedway.com. Welcome back. It is Wing Nation, presented by Sage Fruit. Having a great time, Aaron Evernham and Steve Post. I love Chase Ram. Different ends of the spectrum with racing.
Yep.
But just really, really good folks, that's for sure. Let's talk about it. Our National Sprint Car Hall of Fame Museum birthday or Hall of Fame birthday calendar. Really quiet other than today. Ronnie Allen, Jeff Bloom, Ralph Hankinson, and Enos M. Diz Wilson birthdays today. But while it's quiet on the birthday calendar, it's not quiet at one sprint car place in Knoxville, Iowa. They've got their salute to Williams Grove going on.
Yeah.
So a really, really nice display there. Our buddy has been working on autograph sessions, Shane Carson. So Shane's got autograph sessions lined up all next week for 10 Nationals. Yeah, I do, right there. Q&A sessions. Different group sessions. I saw Blake Anderson's doing a Meet the All-Stars, and Tony, I think, is doing Meet the Locals.
Dave Argerbright has something.
Yeah. All kinds of great stuff. Sessions in the upstairs area there next week. And, of course, and you've got a shot this year, folks.
Because I'm not going.
That's right. The gift shop is all open, and Erin won't clean the place out like she's tried to do the last couple of years with Kate.
We've done a good job.
Yeah, absolutely. So make sure as you go to Knoxville this week for 360 Nationals, all next week for the Nationals, that the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, it's turn two, right off from turn number two. Make sure you spend time there. I always like, my favorite thing is I go in and do the gift shop and kind of do maybe a session and sit down. But then I like to go in at one time when it's a little quieter, maybe early in the morning, and just walk around. And boy, I'm telling you, it is phenomenal. So they do a great job out there. And fun stuff, that is for sure. This weekend, well, we don't even have to get to this weekend, Aaron. We got one tonight, Kokomo. They're headed to the Kokomo, the High Limit Sprint Car Series. Going to be fun, that's for sure.
Yep.
World of Outlaws.
World of Outlaws, the big one. I love this race, the Ironman 55 at Peavely.
That is so awesome. That really truly is.
It's a fun race to watch.
Really, truly is, yes. And hopefully Ken Schrader will be happier with the folks at Peavely than he was at Paul Tracy last week.
I love Schrader.
Yeah, who doesn't? I mean, when you piss off Ken Schrader.
Didn't Dale Jr. say that? He had a quote like.
Yeah, if you do that. You got to work hard to do that. We're talking about SRX, and Paul did something, and Ken didn't like it, and it was not the first time. And so Ken finally just said, that's it, I'm done. And I'm like, I don't think we've ever witnessed a hacked-off Ken Schrader.
No.
But they're at his racetrack this week, Peavely for the Ironman 55, and then Knoxville 33rd Annual 360 Nationals. 12th annual Capitani Classic. And then Monday, our main man, Terry McCarl's got the Sage Fruit Front Row Nationals, $21,000 to win.
Yep, the party and a race breaks out.
The party and a race breaks out. T-Mac. Man, with T-Mac, I don't even know if T-Mac's running the 410 Nationals. He hasn't been running a lot of 410 stuff. He says he doesn't like to race against the boys. And I know Austin and Carson was looking for a ride, I think Carson said. But T-Mac. You get him where he just got the Front Row Nationals on the docket that week. That's ought to really crank up the party a little bit. Fun stuff. Really good. Knoxville weekend, Knoxville weeks, 10 days basically from this Thursday's 360 Nationals right through the big one next week. It is going to be awesome. That is for sure. Mm-hmm. Speaking of Knoxville, Austin McCarl is our guest on our Wing Nation television program presented by Sage Fruit. He's the point leader out there. We record these on Monday. Ashley and I do. We had a wonderful visit with Austin. Really, really cool stuff. I really have gotten to enjoy getting to know Austin and then seeing him with his new son and everything. I just think that it's cool. So it's a good show. It is Wednesday night on Rev, Friday afternoon on MAV TV. Wing Nation gear is available wherever you get your, or wherever Justin Pack and the Tom Book Motorsports trailer goes, or you can go to www.shopwingnation.com, shopwingnation.com, and get your Wing Nation gear. So there you have it. We do appreciate Chase Randall and Greg Wilson for joining us here on the program. And in that time of year, we're a lot of sprint car talk.
Yep, sure
you see,
is.
You see the silly season continues on. Now Tim Schaefer's out of the Grove car.
This has been a wild mid-race season, silly
Tim
season.
Tim is third in points. The team owner is fifth in points. And
at this point, nothing really surprises me.
No, nothing does.
And it's almost like, oh, every morning, let's check what happened. You know, there's something new every day right now.
Yeah. I mean, my conventional wisdom is let's get through Knoxville and do something.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Well,
it really is.
That doesn't happen. Then things will really go crazy if people start.
Oh, my gosh. See what happens there. Yeah, Logan Wagner in the 69K at Port, which is not a bad combination.
No.
It's not a bad combination. That's going to be interesting to see how that goes and then who goes in the one car. So stay tuned. When the music stops, grab a seat. Absolutely. She's Erin Evernham. I'm Steve Post. Thank you for joining us this time on Wing Nation presented by Sage Fruit.
Silence is golden, especially when it comes to brakes. That's why Napa Silent Guard are built to be one of the smoothest and most quiet brakes on the market. Made with fiber-reinforced shims that eliminate noise for the life of the pad, rubber-coated hardware for a better fit, and quality design that meets and exceeds OE performance. Silent Guard brakes deliver the stopping power drivers demand. Available now at Napa locations nationwide. Napa!